So let's stand together and have our call to worship out of Psalm 84. And we'll read it together. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen.
Good morning. Let's remain standing as we open up our song service with number 495, Serve the Lord with Gladness. Number 495, we will sing all three verses.
Serve the Lord with gladness in our words and ways. Come before his presence with our songs of praise. Unto him our Maker we would pledge anew. Life's supreme devotion to serve is true. Serve him with gladness, enter his courts with song.
Remain standing for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Dewey Bond if he'll lead some prayer. Dewey?
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for once again allowing each of us the opportunity to come before you, knowing in our heart of hearts, Father, we just don't deserve it. We thank you for the countless blessings that you set in motion in our life. We thank you for your love and your grace that you pour upon us endlessly. We ask, Father, you touch each of our hearts today, that we allow you to feel the moving of your Holy Spirit. And we give ourselves to you. We thank you for the honor and the joy that you share with us. And we ask that you continue to fill us with strengthen and guide us. We ask this in all in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Take this moment to invite you back out next Sunday, 10 o'clock, Sunday school. If you weren't here this morning, we missed you. So come on out and be with us next week. We love to study about the Lord. Let's continue singing with number 615. Number 615. To the work, to the work. We'll do the first and last verses, and we will have the ushers come to receive this morning's offering on the last verse.
To to the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew, let us do with our might what our hands find to do.
We're so thankful, Lord God, for the pastor and his family and your ordination that it has gone favorably. Father, we just ask for your blessings to be bestowed upon Monterey Baptist and every soul that is in here, that your spirit will just guide and direct our lives together, Lord God, and that we are found workers for you. Now I ask that you bless each individual that is here, bless those that have to give and those that do not, and allow this offering to do the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask this in the name of Jesus by his grace. Amen.
Amen. Play for me, Ray, while I preach? All right. Good morning. This morning before Sunday school class, we had an ordination council which met and examined Pastor Doug. And at the end of that, as that concluded, we recommended Pastor Doug be ordained. Our recommendation was to Monterey Baptist Church. After Sunday school, we had a business meeting, a church business meeting. And the fellowship hall and the church unanimously voted to receive Pastor Doug. And so I guess you're it now.
Tag, you're it.
It's traditional at an ordination service to have a couple of charges. One pastor will follow me and will give the charge to Pastor Doug. My privilege is this morning is to give the charge to the church, the charge to you and I. And we are so thankful to God for bringing Pastor Doug and Grace and Jonah to us. They are God's answers to our prayers.
Amen.
So it's my privilege to present the charge to the church. I'm going to be in 1 Thessalonians. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn along there,
just going to read a couple verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." First thing that the Apostle Paul addresses, and I am addressing to us as a church, is the need for us, Monterey Baptist Church, to respect our pastor. Respect those who labor among you. Respect means we acknowledge the position that God has given him, Christ's under-shepherd, to lead us in worship, he's charged with caring for us, spiritually guiding us, being an example to us. Respect. Some people say that respect has to be earned. And in many cases, that's true. But in regards to our pastor, we owe him respect. Unless and until he proves he's not worthy of it, and I trust that that's not going to happen. God's telling us at Monterey Baptist Church to respect Pastor Doug. Respect, usually reserved for those who are older or more experienced than we are. And in our case, there are many of us who may be older and more experienced than Pastor. But that's not an excuse to withhold our respect from him. God commands us to respect the pastor because regardless of his age or experience, respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. In a real sense, Pastor Doug is over us, not because of who he is, but because of the position that he holds in Christ. He has been charged by God himself to lead us by God's word, to admonish us if we step out of line in our Christian walk and service. So I trust that Monterey Baptist Church will be known as a church who loves and respects their pastor to God's glory. We honor God by honoring the pastor he has sent to us. Verse 13 tells us that we are to esteem him very highly in love. To esteem him means that we prize him, we value him, we appreciate him. We consider him to be worthy of our respect. We are to value him and his family as they labor among us. We certainly must not look down on Pastor Doug. We must not belittle him as our pastor. We need to remember that each one of us is going to be held accountable to the Lord for how we regard our pastor and how we treat him. Esteem him very highly. Very highly. God is going to work through our pastor for his glory, for God's glory, and for our good if we honor the Lord by honoring his workers. Esteem them very highly in love. Love him in the sense of having an emotional affection towards him, yes, but I believe love him in the sense of showing sacrificial care for our pastor. Jesus says that we demonstrate our love for him by loving our fellow believers. But we can also, you and I, can demonstrate our true love for Christ by loving his pastor, our pastor. Not just tolerating Pastor Doug, not considering him unworthy of our respect and honor, but joyfully loving him and loving his work among us. If we looked at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it also speaks of our responsibility to our pastor. Hebrews 13, 7 says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God." Remember your leaders. Remember Pastor Doug? How can we forget him? He just got here a year ago. I think it's important to remember Pastor Doug in our prayers. Remember to lift him up to the Lord for his protection, for his equipping, for his faithfulness, for his encouragement. And as a pastor speaking to his people, the author of Hebrews tells his readers in verse 18, pray for us. To pray for us. Every member of Every member of Monterey Baptist Church has an obligation, a responsibility to be lifting up our pastor in faithful prayer daily. Each day we need to be praying for Pastor Doug because he is doing God's work. Satan is not pleased about that, and there are many who may oppose it. We lift him up in prayer daily. We trust God to work through our pastor to lead all of us in God's will for us as a church. Verse 17 of the same chapter, we read, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Pastor Doug one day will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account how he has led and guided our church, how he has exhorted us to follow Christ and to serve Christ. You and I can help Pastor Doug be approved by God, commended by Jesus Christ, by obeying him and submitting to him and the Lord. Now, as human beings, we don't naturally like to obey and submit. Uh-oh. Adam and Eve did not obey and submit to God over them. They did their own thing and they suffered for it. We're suffering for it. The instruction for all of us to obey and submit to Pastor Doug's biblical leading is not just a suggestion. This is a command from God's word, whether we like it or not. Pastor Doug is not a dictator. He does not push people around. He does not flaunt or misuse his authority that he receives from God as he leads us in God's ways. If we will not respect Pastor Doug and obey him, we cannot say that we are submitting to and obeying God. Pastor Doug is not God. He'll be the first one to tell you that. Grace will be the second one to tell you that. I'll be the third one to tell you. But the principle of authority and submission is the same that God has given in the family. The parents are an authority over their children. Their children are to submit to their parents' authority. How can a child submit and obey God? Submit to God, obey to God? By submitting to and obeying their parents. And if we are not obeying and submitting to Pastor Doug, then we are not obeying and submitting to God. And in that same verse in Hebrews, God gives us a practical reason why we must obey and submit to our pastor. He says, let them do this to lead and serve us. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pastor Doug's years of service, however long God has in mind, these should be the most joyous years of his life. They should not be years of groaning and frustration and sadness. And we are the key to how he will look back and evaluate his time spent with us. We, you and I, can make his time here a joy, his ministry a joy, as we obey Christ, serve each other, contribute to being a harmonious church family, and support, love, and encourage our pastor and his family. All too sadly, I know, you may know, many pastors who cannot say, looking back on their ministry, that it was a joy. Countless pastors leave the ministry every year because they have been beaten down, opposed, gossiped about, fought with, discouraged, complained about, resisted, challenged, ignored at every turn. We must not let this happen to our pastor.
That's right.
God has sent him to us. We have called him. We are to encourage him. We are to lift him up. We are to serve him, respect him. We are to come alongside him in the work of the ministry. We're to pray for him. We are to meet his needs, all so that he can devote himself to the difficult task of shepherding us in the Lord's work. The often difficult task of shepherding God's people is that sometimes we don't like to be shepherded. We want to do our own thing. Sheep don't naturally like to follow and obey the shepherd. They get into trouble. They wander off. They lose focus. And we Christians can do the same thing. We sometimes allow life to distract us from following Christ and obeying His word. In almost every church, you have members who have wandered away from the flock. Some are now living lives of unconfessed sin, of rebellion, not living a Christian life, not honoring Christ with their life. And it's part of the pastor's responsibility to go after those erring sheep. Sometimes it's not pleasant. Some sheep don't want to come back into the sheepfold. But how this happens will depend a lot upon how you and I stand with our under-shepherd, Pastor Doug, in this process. He is following God's biblical mandates in regards to bringing back the erring brother. Even if it eventually, if they are unwilling, it leads to church discipline, we are to stand with our pastor and support him regardless of our feelings, regardless if it's my loved one that he is confronting, urging them to repent and come back. We must not oppose him. We are here to support him in that. If we all serve God together in these ways, God will be pleased. Christ will be honored. Pastor Doug will be successful. And we will all know the incredible joy of being a truly healthy, vibrant, joy-filled, Christ-focused church. And we will experience the fulfillment of God Himself, Christ Himself working through us, among us, in us, as we reach out and minister to others with Christ's love. I know a little bit about ministering with joy. Many years ago, when I pastored Hyde Park Baptist Church, when I came, they were not a church filled with joy. There was infighting. There was discouragement. They had a history of conflict with their pastors. There had been church splits. There were hard feelings. There was a lack of understanding of what Christ's church is supposed to be and to do. They were sheep without a shepherd, wandering in a spiritual wilderness. It was not a happy place to be or to serve there. But God began to do a beautiful work among his people. He used his word to get to people's hearts and minds. Others who wanted to truly serve Christ and to be faithful Christians joined the church. And God so worked among us that he made us into a vibrant, loving, joyful, serving church. So much so that Linda and I have to confess that our 15 years there were the most joyous years of our life. Many of that congregation became and still are our closest friends in life. That's just a little of what God will accomplish here when we submit ourselves to Him, submit ourselves to each other, and support our pastor. I trust that each one of us will pledge to the Lord that we will do our best to make Pastor Doug's service among us a joy and not a burden. And then we will begin to see God really work among us and in us and through us, to accomplish his perfect will, making disciples, bringing the lost to Christ. Let's bring glory to God in Claremont County by allowing him to make us into his church that he's proud to bless, pleased to use for his name's sake, as we love and respect and esteem and obey the pastor that God has given to us. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe at this time we have special music.
Can you hear me? For those of y'all who don't know, this is my mother-in-law, Crystal. Grace's family, her parents and her sister have come to live with us for a month or so to help us transition into our new season of life with Jonah. They've been a tremendous blessing. And Grace's mother, Crystal, has also been blessed with the gift of being able to sing very well. And she has some CDs in the back that she made years ago for the purpose of just edifying other Christians and evangelism. So we encourage you all to grab one of those on your way out today. And she's prepared a special to sing. And she'll be singing a special. Some of it will be in Korean. Most of it will be in English. But you don't have to sing along in the Korean portion. She'll do that for you. So I'd just like to introduce my mother-in-law, Crystal.
I'm not sure my voice is coming out since 2015 for many reasons. Anyway, just speaking is my practice my voice now. I would like to praise God with you. Give thanks.
Because he's given Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I follow that.
That's what I'm saying. Thanks a lot.
Your work cut out for you.
Oh, man, what a privilege. You know, it's great when someone comes and opens the heart of the people to get them ready for the preaching. Amen. Amen. I'm so grateful to be here with you today. I'm Gary Wilson. I'm Doug's uncle. I'm the man from Uncle. And I count it a joy to be here with you. I praise the Lord for this congregation. When Doug and Grace were in the process, you know, in the journey, praying, seeking, asking, and we joined with them in their seeking and asking about where God would have them to be, and the Lord answered, so today, you're the answer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was also blessed to sit with other men on the ordination council, men of wisdom and dignity, integrity and experience. And that was a blessing to hear them and to know that they are in his life. So praise the Lord for that. Can I pray with you for just a minute? Okay. Father, I'm so grateful to be here today. Lord, you know my heart. You know of the struggle. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would bring blessing further. Thank you for what you shared, Lord, in song. And thank you for what you've already shared through Pastor Bill. And I pray now, Lord, that you would help us to share with Doug and Grace and with the church. I pray, Father, speak in the name of Jesus. Amen. I noticed on the bulletin that it tells me when I'm supposed to start. But I did not see where I'm supposed to stop. That's your job, yes.
We'll let the wife then.
Yeah. Well, I knew that I was going to have to be quick, you know. Have to be quick as I can. You know, Paul at times, he wrote as though he was running out of time or he was running out of space on a page, and he would say things in a rapid fire succession, like 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22. Paul says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And we'll just give you bullet points, you know, things that you can spend a sermon on each phrase. And we don't have the time to do that, do we? Jesus did the same thing. He said, love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, go make disciples. Real quick. So I'm endeavoring to speak to you in a quick fashion in the same way. I want to read a couple of passages of scripture for you with that in mind. Because as wonderfully as I'm gifted to speak, or not, you can't speak better than the scripture. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, of Christ. Amen. This comes from 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort
with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, Brother Doug, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. The second passage is 1 Peter 5. And this passage really comes in three blocks, in three sections, each one pertinent to what we're doing right now. Peter says, therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences, notice that was plural, of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. As I thought about these passages of Scripture, they spoke to me about your ministry. Now, we could do word studies on all these words. We're not going to. Somebody said amen. Here's four words. God is calling you to lead. He is calling you to fulfill your ministry through evangelism. He's calling you to lead people to Jesus Christ, to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. Lead people to Christ. If you don't lead people to Christ, how are they going to lead people to Christ? Which means you've got to teach them to do that, right? Teach them to do that. I was doing street ministry in Moscow several years ago, and we were showing Christian films in a cultural center at night and going out during the day and just getting in the street. And one evening, the pastor came to me and he said, Pastor, tomorrow you do evangelism. I said, okay, what do you have in mind? He said, you'll go out in street and we follow you and you show us how to do evangelism. Now, here's a boy from Kentucky walking up and down the main street in Moscow, accosting people about Jesus while they watched me do it. Several years ago, I was leading an evangelism conference, down around Bardstown, Kentucky, in a full gospel church, right? Teaching their people how to lead people to Christ. So at the end of the conference, we took a group of people up to Walmart in Bardstown. And we said, now come on, we're going to put into practice what we've just learned. Okay, so I had me some ducklings, and they followed along with me in Walmart. I said, now you all watch this. And I began to accost people in Walmart about Jesus. Pretty soon I prayed for comfort with one, and then another person who was open, I led to Christ standing in the aisle at Walmart. Then I turned to my ducklings and I said, now you do it. And they went after it. But one man, who was also a deacon in that congregation, said to me, Brother Gary, I just can't do that. I'm not made that way. I just can't do that. I said to him, you can do that. Well, as God would have it, in a few minutes, one of his relatives came into Walmart. And that man stood there with his relative sharing Jesus with them in Walmart. Got to lead people to Christ. There's nobody to disciple, right? Lead them to Christ. And then teach them. Word number two. Have I lost you yet? First word was what?
Lead.
You've got to lead out. Second word is feed. Feed. Warren Wiersbe said, a church grows when you feed them. A church grows when you feed them. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Because I'm going to. There's a lot of fat church people. Now, you all are going, Pastor, you're just insulting. Let me explain. You know why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea? Because it takes in and doesn't give out. Many people sit in the church pew and they take in and they take in and they take in and they never put out. Hello, can you hear me? You're supposed to put it into action. So when I say you're to feed the people, you feed them the scripture. You feed them the word of God. You feed them the logos. You feed them the rhema. Right? You feed them the didache. That was for him. Okay. You got to give them the living word. You got to see that the word comes alive in them. Okay. And keep them in the Word of God. Teach them, teach them, teach them. But you always teach by example. By example. Okay? Now, sometimes that means that you've got to reprove, rebuke, and exhort as you're teaching. Right? But feed them. What was that word? Feed them. Third, plead. These all rhyme. Y'all get that, right? Doug, plead. Get down on your face before God and plead. Ask for them. Pray for them. Ask for their deliverance. Ask for their healing. Ask for their encouragement. Ask for their minds to be undarkened. Pray that God would intervene in their lives. Plead for them. This goes beyond the nice little who's who in the hospital prayers on Wednesday night. Plead for them. Lead them. Feed them. Plead for them. Here's the fourth word, which means we're a third of the way done. Bleed. This will cost you your life. We're held to a higher standard before the Lord because we've assumed the mantle of leadership. God holds us responsible. We're like the watchman on the wall in Ezekiel. God holds us responsible. And listen, brothers and sisters, the gospel is full of suffering. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they listen to me, they'll listen to you. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I came to bring a sword. Do y'all understand that we stand in opposition to? We stand in opposition to sin. We stand in opposition to Satan. We stand in opposition many times to culture, to society. And that opposition will bring a reaction, and sometimes it is violent, and sometimes it costs the ultimate price. Just ask Jim Elliot when you see him in glory. Ask the martyrs when you see him. Ask the apostles when you see him. Think about the Apostle Paul. He was stoned to death. He was shipwrecked. He was snake bit. He was beheaded. He was scorned. He was rejected. He was rebuked. Stripped naked and beaten. And where did he write his letters to the churches? In prison. Did I burst your bubble yet? Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And sometimes, and most of the time, hear me, it comes from religious people. When the Lord called Isaiah, I mentioned this morning. Y'all didn't get to hear it, so I'm going to say it again. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah's in the temple. He's all tore all, up over a loss of a friend, the king. King Uzziah. And he goes to the temple and he has a vision. He sees the Lord. And he gets so excited about seeing the Lord. And the Lord says, who will go? Who can we send? Isaiah's so excited. Hear my Lord, send me. Excuse me, Isaiah. They're going to reject you. They're not going to listen to your word. They're going to repudiate you. And they are going to make you suffer. His next prayer went something like this. Lord, how long? When the Lord called Paul, he told Ananias, whom he sent to Saul to lay hands on him and pray for him, I must show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Brothers and sisters, we are in those days when people have rejected the truth and having itching ears, they have heaped unto themselves preachers and teachers that just tickle their ears. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Resist the fear of man and tell them the truth in love. So how's this all going to take place? What do you got to do all of this? Well, here's some more words. Humble yourself. It didn't say, let me humble you. It tells you to humble yourself. My title is the Reverend Dr. Gary Wilson. Ooh. Boy, that title was fresh and new when I first got my doctorate, and every time I tried to use it, I stuck my foot in my mouth and I fell over myself and I ended up embarrassing myself. God doesn't care spit about titles. Amen. Humble yourself. Realize that you're not the center of the universe. That Jesus is. Amen. Two, because of that, cast all of your care and your anxiety on the Lord. Remember the old song, Tell It to Jesus? Tell it to Jesus.
Hello.
Amen. Tell it to Jesus. Be sober in spirit. Being sober means to be free of intoxicants. Be free of intoxicants. Now, this is going to go with being humble. Some folks are full of themselves. Okay? Resist anything that tries to control your life other than the Spirit and the Word of God. Be sober. Be alert in warfare. This passage mentions an evil presence that's called the devil. The devil is real. The devil is a fallen angel named Lucifer. Many commentators believe that he was leader of the worship in heaven. He got full of himself and was cast out. He's not by himself. He took a third of the heavenly host with him, and those demons are in this world, and they are working in people. Because, see, this realm was given to man. And in order to work in this realm, you got to have a body. You understand what I'm saying to you? And just like your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can you hear me? Many people's bodies then become the temple of the enemy. And a lot of times in the scripture, this word for possession is not ownership. It's under the influence of. Christians can come under the influence of. Example, Ananias and Sapphira, who tried to lie to the Holy Spirit. Example, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter jumped up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Guys, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. Peter jumps up. No, Lord. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You have to be alert and sober and watchful. Not that you're demon conscious or that you're devil conscious, but that you're conscious of the fact that he's working. Because part of your responsibility is to protect not only yourself, but your family and your congregation. sometimes folks need protected from themselves. Is this getting too much? Because you're in it. The last word that he uses in this section is suffer. After you've suffered for a while, we've already covered that. We've already covered it. It's a part of the Christian walk. It's a part of it. And you have to be ready for it. I begin to pray and think through what's my response going to be, because it so often this temptation from suffering comes right after a great success. Because there's moves and counter moves in the spirit realm. Okay? For example, one of my pastorates, the church was growing dynamically. Ministry was increasing. Buildings were built. Transportation was purchased. The church is going and growing. And somebody got mad. And they came before the deacon body. And we said, "What you mad about?" "He's letting too many new people do things around here, and this is our church." When the church starts to grow, it causes problems. Y'all think, "We want to grow, we want to grow." And all of a sudden, you start running into sacred cows, and you start running into people who have their own place. As a matter of fact, some of y'all probably sat in the same place you usually sit this morning. Just a few weeks ago, somebody visited our church, sat in the seat in the back, and one of the guys that are regulars who sits there every week had the gall to tell that person that that was their seat. Rebuke. Right? There's going to be suffering. Endure. Keeping your eyes on Christ. So you're going to humble yourself. Cast your care on Jesus. Be sober in your spirit. Be alert. Resist the devil. And you're going to suffer. Now here's the good news. That all sounded bad, didn't it? Here's the good news. After you've suffered for a while, the God of all grace, who called you, the God who called you, the God you know, He's going to perfect you. He's going to confirm you. He's going to strengthen you. And He's going to establish you. And Peter ends with this exhortation: stand firm in the grace of God. Stand firm, brother, in the grace of God. Remember what grace is? Charis? God's unmerited favor and His power in action in you. Stand firm in His power as you face these things. You have a great history in your life. The both of you. The three of you. Grace's parents serving. Through everything I just talked about, they've experienced every bit of it.
great, 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 great grandfather was named Christopher Wilson. He was an itinerant Baptist preacher that migrated here from England. His father was a Baptist preacher. And he came here and he began to serve in the Northern Kentucky area. And many of the roots and the beginning churches of the Northern Kentucky Baptist Association were helped to be started by him. You have a grandfather and you have a great uncle. As a matter of fact, you got two, they're right there. Who've received the anointing of the Lord and have ministered. You got a crazy uncle.
The anointing of the Lord has flowed in and around our family for five generations. And we're here because they prayed for us. Because they uphold us. So let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. Amen. Amen. Doug, I'm going to ask you and Grace to stand right here for a minute. Just bring him with me. We are going to celebrate the laying on of hands. And if you think Doug does ministry by himself, think through it a little more. This is a family that God has called. Okay? Now, would you guys face me? Doug and Grace, do you promise to walk worthily of the vocation to which you are called, seeking always to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord? And do you promise diligently and faithfully to perform the duties of a minister of the gospel with no thought of personal reward or honor, having as your primary motives the winning of persons to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and the building up of the Church of Christ through inspiration, teaching, exhortation, and stewardship to the glory of God? Do you so promise? Say, we do.
We do.
Would you turn and face this congregation? Grace, would you take the baby? And now, Doug, would you kneel, please? I'm going to ask the ordained men of the congregation, those who are still here from the ordination council, to come forward and to lay hands on Doug and pray.
Father, we praise you for what you've done. We praise you for your call. We praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you for your love. We praise you for Jesus. And Father, I ask you for you to place your anointing, your power and your authority upon Doug and Grace and the family. In the name of Jesus, to, Lord, serve you in this place and in every place you would send them. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Amen. I get to be last, and I get to present him this for this certificate of ordination that the church council has approved, and we love you, brother. Anything to say?
Well, I've been conflicted about
this service because so much of it seems to be for me. But I appreciate Bill and Uncle Gary for preaching how they did, because it's about Christ. What this has done is simply recognized his work, recognized his calling. So thanks everybody for being here. I didn't realize I'd have like 25 people coming in and beefing up the church today. And this is Jonah's first appearance, so everybody make sure to ooh and ah at him. I notice he's following the trend of basically every man I know of wearing blue on blue and brown. But it's been a pleasure to be your pastor. This has been the best year of my life. And I look forward to serving in ministry with everybody here. Everybody that's here, particularly every member of our church, we're in ministry together. Amen. And the pastor is a call and it's an office, but I want everybody to recognize that I'm here to lead and shepherd you to do the work. I'm going to be doing it with you. The work of ministry is not outsourced. I'm not the holy man that you guys hired to do evangelism for the church. I'm not the holy man you guys hired to do counseling for the church. I'm the pastor that helps to shepherd and lead all of us to do all of those things together and for one another. Amen. So thanks for committing to be in ministry with me. Thanks to the council. Really thank you to the council for all y'all taking the time out of your day, your schedules, for driving up, and for being a part of this. It's going to be a piece of paper. I know, but the signatures on it mean a lot to me. So thank you. And with that, I know that we are going to be fed. I feed you with the word of God, but the ladies have prepared real food for our stomachs. And I put in here, in our bulletin, what the ordination is, a brief explanation of what ordination is. We aren't Catholic priests. I'm not given authority by the Pope to literally bend the knee of Christ and make him present in communion. I'm not here to absolve you of your sins. It's a recognition of what Christ has already done. It's a recognition that he's still doing work, and it's a recognition that he's going to do more work. And with that, as we end every service, our benediction is from Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And God bless the food that we're going to eat.
Yeah, let's pray for the food briefly while we're all here. Lord, thank you that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die and pay for the penalty of all of our sins, the sins that we have all committed sin, Lord, and that earns us death. But your Son, Jesus Christ, coming and living the sinless life and paying that death on our behalf is what saves us, and it's that alone. And we thank you for all the gifts you give us, and one of those gifts is a meal. And we ask that you bless that meal to nourish our bodies and bless that time for us to grow in fellowship with one another, with brothers and sisters in Christ, and with our families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may eat.